This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Nikki Tozer, EMEA Vice President at Oracle NetSuite. Nikki, you're just about to go into a session which is around women in leadership and women in technology. How did you forge your path in what is often seen as a male-dominated industry?
I started almost straight out of university, pretty much by accident. I started as a receptionist in a software company while I was looking at other graduate programs, and then I went on to do telemarketing and telesales. And the biggest jump and the most challenging jump I made actually was from a telesales role into a field sales role. I think actually my success in that process was really not to consider myself as a woman in a male-dominated industry. I just considered myself as a business person in that industry, and that I just had to be competitive with the next person regardless of what their gender or diversity was.
Is that the right approach today?
For me, if we can encourage people to think about what is going to take them forward and to consider that they have all the same attributes and the same capabilities as men in the industry, why not? I think that is changing. I think we see more women in leadership, we see more women progressing into roles, and it's far more acceptable to do that. If you only think about what's going to hold you back, and it's considered that being a female in a male-dominated environment holds you back, then it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you just think, right, okay, this is the landscape that I have to work in, I'm going to make it work for me, and you consider yourself just to be an equal and you get on with your job, there's not something in your head that's automatically holding you back. And in fact, when I was growing up in that business, I often considered it an advantage, actually, because if I was selling to a prospect and there were 10 other vendors trying to sell, if I was the only woman, they would definitely remember me, which is straight away an advantage. And the other thing I found an advantage was that men who are buying or key stakeholders in those companies don't feel very comfortable in telling another man that they don't understand something about the proposal that they are saying, or less likely to open up about their anxieties about what's keeping them awake at night for their job. But they are more likely to tell a woman those kind of things. So I always found that I would know more than the next guy, and I could make my proposal more relevant to that particular individual or that company, and then you immediately have an advantage. For me, it's just more powerful to take something that may be perceived to be negative and turn it into a positive.
That's a very optimistic view, and it probably takes an optimistic person as well, doesn't it?
Yes.
What are the current challenges around bias, both conscious and unconscious?
If you look at a business that has no diversity in it, and actually in our business we have a lot, it's still a male-dominated business. It's not a conscious decision necessarily, it just happens that way because there are typically more men in that environment. It's not necessarily a natural choice for a woman to go into that environment. And so there are challenges to encourage people not to think, I don't want to do that because there are no women in those organisations. We are starting to see the graduates that come out of university. There are many more females in those programs now than there ever has been before. That generation are the ones that we see changing the mold and bringing a more diverse workforce.
The underlying problem is surely actually the talent pool available to technology organizations is very low, and there's a lot of initiatives around girls and technology. Is that where the base problem lies in a sense, rather than the later on, if you're looking at the people of 30 and 40, there just isn't the talent pool of women around to actually recruit? You just couldn't have a technology company of 30-year-olds, which are equal, because they just don't exist.
Yes, there hasn't been that program to date. When we try to recruit more mature salespeople, the number of CVs that you get through that would be women versus men is tiny.
So is the problem within education, or how far back does it go, do you think?
History builds history in a way. So I think it is now. So for example, I have lots of the younger female workforce coming and saying to me that it's really inspirational just to see me in this role. It's about a belief. They're starting their career now, and if they see, well, actually there is a woman who is in that leadership role, then they believe it's actually possible. And then they believe that everything that they are doing now could drive them to that position. Whereas historically, there would be so few women in leadership positions or in the tech business altogether, that maybe it just breeds that, what's the point of me trying to go after that kind of position or that kind of industry, because it's just not there for the taking.
Is there something that business can do to fix that problem in the long term? Because it can't necessarily fix the current generation, because that's fairly set. But is there something that you and other business leaders, not just female but male as well, can do to help rectify that balance?
We have women's leadership groups, which actually I always felt was a bit of a challenge, having put a group of people together and you give them a badge and a name, and sometimes it singles them out even further. But actually what those groups do give, particularly to young women who are forging their careers, is the ability to talk to each other about some of the experiences they've had and how they get over them. That's important for them to be able to share those things, to work through them together. It's important for them to see that as a business, women are getting promoted into leadership roles. And it's important for men to be supportive of that. The old boardroom culture, where maybe if you were a female in a boardroom and you didn't have the right kind of character, you would have found it quite tough to be in that environment. But men are also coming to the conclusion that women have a lot to offer in these environments, that they are as bright or brighter or have a different approach that can drive their business forward. It's women's responsibilities to promote and encourage women to go in, and men's responsibilities to welcome them and help them to go forward and be impressed by what they do when they do it.
Are they almost the equivalent of the unofficial male barroom clubs? Because there's a drinking culture often in historically where men would go down the pub after work and have that chat in that male-orientated group, whereas some women don't necessarily want to do that. Some men don't want to do it either. Are you creating an environment that has actually naturally make sure that you do have those self-support groups that maybe exist for men in different ways already?
If I look at the generation that's coming in, if you were to go in the pub after work, you would see an absolute mix of both genders. And I think that's a reflection not just on the technology industry, not just on women in leadership. That's just life now. People are much more accepting that women are as capable and as able as men. And going forward, I think we'll see a huge change now that the shift has begun.
And obviously you're working in Oracle NetSuite now. You have worked in Oracle before. How does Oracle NetSuite promote women in tech?
We are part of the Oracle Women's Leadership Group, and within that there's lots of development programs of different kinds, WebExes and networking events, conferences, etc. You don't want to have a bias. You want to make sure that people are promoted on their worth. But within NetSuite, there are a number of females being promoted into their first leadership roles, and that starts to generate more of a belief again for the women coming through below them and in other bits of the business, that they think, well, okay, yes, that could be me in a couple of years' time. Our diversity is pretty good. I would say actually we could do better at management level, at the senior end of it, but there are a lot of female managers across our organisation. We are very supportive of it. We've still got some improvements to make.
Are there any job roles or areas of the business where there is still a lack of diversity?
I would say that if you would find it, it would be in a field sales team or a field sales management team. That's where we see the least women in those roles.
And is that solvable, or how's that solvable, do you think?
For example, what we're doing at NetSuite is when we take in graduates onto the business development program, they are the salespeople of our future. We promote them through various levels of sales roles. If our intakes are a good mix of men and women, then by definition in the future, we will be promoting more of those women into those roles.
One of the areas of my experience, I found that while my project managers and business analysts were very, even in some cases, actually female orientated, the developers were often male orientated. And that was one of the areas we found it very hard to recruit females. Is that an experience in Oracle?
To be honest, I'm not aware of that, because in NetSuite, our development is not done in the UK. So I wouldn't really be able to answer that.
What do you think we should be doing more of to encourage more girls to consider a career in tech?
There's two bits to that. When we talk about tech, if you think about NetSuite as tech, it is software. At the end of the day, it's software as a service, it's a technology business. But at the end of the day, a lot of what we're doing with that technology, many of the roles in that technology business are talking to businesses about what the challenges of their businesses are and how do we use technology to help support them. So many of our roles aren't actually anything to do with tech as such. So I think there is some education that we could do to help people to understand what that is, then to create more of a broader breadth of roles that maybe they would be more interested in. And then once they see that there are lots of other women doing these kind of roles and having success at it, there is a future for them in those roles, then I think education would be a good start.
You're now in a management position, very senior management position. So have you started initiatives of your own back within Oracle NetSuite?
I do meet with some small groups of women. It's not proactive mentoring as such, but I do try to make myself available to women generally, that they feel like it's open door, they can come and ask whatever they want, really. It's more informal at this point in time, 9 months in. I've had a few challenges to deal with during that time, but yeah, I do try to build in a team where they feel like I'm approachable for them to come and talk to me about whatever challenges they've got.
Is mentoring important, do you think, going forward?
I think it's really important, actually. I think it's more important than women's groups, because it's the one-to-one mentoring. If you find good mentoring, and it might not be one single mentor, it might be lots of one-to-one relationships you have that offer you something different in each one. Those one-to-one conversations that are often more valuable than one big group, which can sometimes be very anonymous.
What's the biggest deterrent, in your opinion, to women succeeding in the workplace?
I believe this is true, and a lot of research supports it, that often if women don't have the same as men have, there is a lot of research to suggest that it's because they won't ask for it.
Neither will men, half the time.
Well, apparently they will ask more than women will. And maybe right now, quite often it is a male-dominated environment. But I do think that will change. We're already seeing a radical change, so I think that will change with it.
What are some of the best and the worst workplace initiatives you've seen to help promote diversity?
The good ones are groups that are structured to help support with specific things, where you might have a women's leadership group. They do think practical things that help women get into roles, even if it's things like presentation advice or photography for LinkedIn and those kind of things. Where they fail is, we want to have a women's group because we should, and then we will invite all the men in as well. And then it's not really structured properly, so all the men just come in because they're like, well, yeah, it's women's group, but I'm allowed to go, so I'm going. So some of those kind of things I've seen don't really work, because they don't create very much practical support, and then it just becomes a bit of a, well, it gives me an hour off work.
Is there a best practice for women's groups that you can share at all?
I'm sure there are best practices for it. I think the Oracle Women's Leadership Group has been around since 2006. They are run by women for women for the most part, but I'm not aware of actually any best practices as such. But I think it's really, for me, it's just about making sure that there is something positive and practical to take from it, rather than just everyone getting together to say, why is it like it is?
What would you tell your younger self?
It's something I've definitely learned now, but it's okay to get it wrong. It's okay to not know the answers all the time, and it's okay to ask questions. Not just ask for help, but quite often you find yourself going through whatever your project might be, whatever your sales cycle might be, and just going, well, I'm not really sure I'm doing the right thing here. I think people can be really anxious about thinking, well, I should know everything. It's that really, is to actually canvassing opinion and having the confidence to do that is a really powerful thing.
And that's where a mentor can help, especially, can't it? Because sometimes you build that trust relationship with a mentor. You can ask them what you think is an awkward question, and then the mentor will say, well, no, just go and ask your boss that. Did you have a mentor when you were young? And what was the best advice you got?
I don't really think I had one specific mentor. Over my career, I've had lots of influential managers, friends, family, etc. And actually, I think one single mentor doesn't give you enough of a breadth of, because everyone's going to have different views about different things. I think probably one of the best things I learned, especially, imagine if you are working in a male-dominated environment, you could make the mistake of being a bit too bullish about everything. One of the things I learned early, luckily, was pick your fights. You can't go battling for every single thing, because you just spend all your time fighting rather than actually getting on with what your job is. The other thing was, stop helping everybody else and get on with your own job. And that's a common trait. It's more typical of females. I see it more in women in industry than I do in males in industry. This is one of the ways you can suffer if you don't say, sorry, I'm busy, is the guys will come and say, oh, you're really good at doing that, can you help me do it? And actually, before you know it, you've spent 2 hours helping them with something and you haven't done your job.
I think it's interesting, because there's a difference between male and female, but there are also masculine traits and feminine traits, and males have feminine traits, and it's important to realise that sometimes. Some cultures, feminine traits are welcomed, and in some cultures, they're less welcomed. Sometimes they're taken advantage of.
Yes, they do, yeah.
If you work in a company for a long time, you become the expert in certain things, so you become the go-to person, and suddenly you find you're the go-to person for something you did 10 years ago, and really you shouldn't be the go-to person anymore.
No, exactly. And actually, I had to make a very conscious decision at one point. I think I was a sales rep. I wasn't doing particularly well, and I was getting, well, you're not doing your number. And I had a conversation with my boss and said, maybe if you don't spend quite so much time helping everybody else, you will be better off. And actually, this was in my first tour of duty at Oracle. And there's so many people at Oracle, you could just spend your whole life helping everybody else. And that's exactly what was happening. And so you kind of go, right, sorry, guys, but no more help. And it did make a massive difference.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Pleasure. Thank you.